Amen. God is worthy. I know I sure don't feel worthy. I sure don't feel worthy at all to stand in this place. I feel like maybe a little bit like maybe Thomas standing here after Abraham or Moses has spoken or something like that. But with all that we've heard already, I'm kind of shaking because of everything that God is and everything that He does. He is truly amazing. Maybe for an opening meditation, let's read from Psalms 80. Psalms 80. To the chief musician upon Shoshanim Edith, a psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? The mercy of God is why we're here this morning. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Could it be talking about how Joseph went down to Egypt and the children of Israel came out of there? The children of Jacob. Joseph was Jacob's son and out of Egypt. And then it says, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Could that refer to how the Egyptians fell into the sea and were buried? I don't know. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Could that be referring to Jesus? Upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. And this is for us today. So will, and this is the aim of being here again, isn't it? So that we will not go back from God. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, faithful Father, thank you for this morning, and that once again you have caused the sun to shine, and you have given us a place that is here in Hessen, Ontario, in this country of Canada, in the world that you have made. You have given us a place here that so far nobody has come in and taken us away or came and saw that we are worshiping God and come and bound those or bound up those that speak and taken them to prison, Father. And we just praise you that we can be here, and we just want to rejoice in that while we have this time, that we would make full advantage of it and learn from you, Bless each one here. We pray for all the children that we are have in our midst. And are we getting a hold of all this in our own hearts as parents so that we can show our children yourself, O God, that we can draw our children to you. Lord, help us in all this, Father, in all the work that we do from day to day, that we would worship you in our work. Lord, how can we worship you in our work? Lord, help us to learn these things this morning. Thank you for each one. Be with all the young souls here, the new Christians, those that have not been, that have recently been born again. And we pray for souls to be born again, young souls and older souls that maybe have put it off, Father. I just pray that we would come to Jesus, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you for your blood that flows and it still flows for each one that calls upon your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I was going to talk, maybe a strange topic. I don't know. I was battling between a couple topics and just kept going back to a chapter in the Bible. I just kept finding myself back there, and we're gonna go to that. But I was thinking of being free in our work, or is our work freedom or bondage? From day to day, just a practical thing of every day when we work, are we working towards freedom or are we working in bondage? And maybe look at some of those things. There's so many little things that we do and we don't even ask why we do them sometimes. We just do them, and is it honoring to God? Are we honoring God with our work? Psalms 90 verse 17 says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." There's 380 verses in the Bible that talk about work. And 102 that have the word sing in it. Now, I don't mean to, this is, we like to forget our work. I don't mean to talk about work and cause you to think about work in that way. I want you to think about from day to day, as you go about your work, that we can worship the Lord. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." When we teach little ones work, we want them to see the work with their eyes, or to see work, and then to see the work, let it register in their heads that yes, this should be done, this needs to be done, and then to see work with their hearts, to actually in their hearts love to do what the work that they've been asked to do, or even maybe they haven't been asked to do it, and how much of a blessing it is when out of the corner of your eye you watch one of your little ones that just goes and does a task, and just out of their heart they want to do something to help. And we also teach our children that work equals eat in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, thus we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should we eat." Well, in Exodus chapter 5, there was a people that was in work, but it was in bondage. And I just want to maybe make a couple notes or talk a little bit about that. And In in Exodus chapter 5. It says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.'" What were the children of Israel doing in Egypt most of the time? They were in bondage. They had to work for Pharaoh. And here's these two men coming in and saying, "Let my people go, that we may hold a feast." They say, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein. Let them not regard vain words.'" And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spoke to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go you, get you straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. These people were in bondage. Sometimes we can maybe feel in bondage when if we just focus on our work. And I can't imagine if I was a woodworker and I was used to the wood showing up at my door ready to make into furniture or whatever, and suddenly my boss would say, "You got to continue the work. You have to continue your production of the furniture that you're making, but now you have to go out and harvest the trees and saw them and let them dry, and you still have to keep up the pace." Can you see the bondage that they were in and the crying out that they had? Sometimes in my work, for instance, maybe you've already had a situation where you feel like you just can't quite please the person you work for, and that can be a bondage if you get that in your mind. Well, now how can I please him better? How can I? But this, in the sense, is trying to please an earthly boss that maybe is not walking with God, and that can be a bondage. Even though the word says we are to please our those that have the rule over us, and that. But if we wake up every morning thinking, "How can we please our earthly boss instead of pleasing God through our work?" Then we can be in bondage, can we not? The chapter that I want to draw your attention to today is Exodus 18. This chapter is full of wonderful things of worship to God and joy to God. I think I will start and I'll read the whole chapter of Exodus. Chapter 18. "When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom. Now it appears here, just to make a note, that Moses had somewhere along the line, either before they came out of Egypt or somewhere along the line, Zipporah and her two sons were taken back to Moses' father-in-law. And her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So he named two sons, kind of after what was happening. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with Moses' sons and his wife unto Moses, unto the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. So here we are. The children of Israel had been delivered from this bondage that they've been in, and they're camping at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee with thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. I thought this was a wonderful thing that took place. How, I don't know, I was trying to think, is there anybody here that's a father-in-law or that has a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law here in this congregation? And I couldn't think of anybody like that. But here's a beautiful situation where Jethro, the priest of Midian, and this Midian is not the Midianites that persecuted Israel with when Gideon delivered them, but it is a different. I didn't research it a lot, but just enough to know that this Jethro was a godly man, and he didn't. It wasn't from the same people, I believe. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And then here's what Jethro does. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. Now we're going to get into the work that Moses was doing. You're probably wondering, how is this tying in with what I'm talking about? And here's Moses. So obviously Jethro is there for more than one day, and the next morning that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until even? And Moses had a good answer, he said. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Or was that a good answer? The last part was, anyway. It seems like he says, Well, it's the people. The people are coming to me. That's why I'm doing it. And you can see the work that Moses was doing was almost putting him in bondage, was it not? This great leader was from morning until evening, and the people were. Can you imagine standing there from morning until evening? Big lineups. There was hundreds of thousands of people. Not all of them came in one day, but we know that. But Can you imagine Moses' work that he had? So he says, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. The thing that thou doest is not good. Can we see the discernment of Jethro? He sees right through everything, and he says, there's something wrong here. It's not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. In other words, the people that are waiting and waiting, and day after day, the people are going to wear away. This thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went into his own land. What did you do this week? What did I do this week? We could talk about all kinds of people in the Bible that did a faithful work. We could talk about Nehemiah who built the walls. We could talk about the faithful workers that built the temple, and those things that Alvin already talked to about how that there was this era of when the temple was, and that era of worship and when you think of all the hundreds and all the thousands of people that built that temple, and then of Nehemiah, who wrought worked with his one hand, and the other hand he held a weapon when they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Then much we could talk about as far as Jesus and the work that he did. John 17:4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Acts 13:41 says, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." This is, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Aren't you glad that God's work went further? It went to us, to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I guess my desire is that through my work from day to day that I can have peace. And not as the world gives peace, but as Jesus gives peace. Isaiah 57:19 says, "I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Peace I leave with you." This in John 14:27. John 14:27, in closing, says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid."